Today I want to talk about expecting God's best. Expecting God's best in our life. You know, on the way over here today, I was thinking about, you know, an example I could share with you from, you know, real life. And then I thought of Liza. Liza, when she goes somewhere to the shopping mall or to the grocery store or whatever, she is always expecting that God has prepared for her the best parking spot. And He does. I've ridden with her. She'll drive me, you know, to the store, and there is an incredible parking spot waiting. And she's expecting, and she says when she pulls into, God always prepares for me the best space. It just comes out of her. You know, God always prepares for me the best space. I've seen it also where we're driving down, and there are other cars circling, and there's all kinds of, you know, activity going on, and you can't find a space. And we'll be pulling up, and then you'll see a car pulling into this one space, and Liza will say, hey, they're taking the space that God prepared for me. And I'm like, well, really? And before you know it, this person can't get their car comfortably into this spot, or they just don't feel comfortable, and you see them back out and drive away. And Liza said, see, they couldn't take the space that God prepared for me. She's expecting the best from God. And I've seen that how many times I can't even imagine. Because she's expecting the best from God. And we have to expect the best from God in our life. You need to expect the best from God in your life. Every single day. Every single day. In Psalm 68:19, it says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. Selah. Meditate on that. Selah. Meditate on that. That He loads us with benefits. Daily. Who daily loads us with benefits. The benefits are being loaded up. We've got to be expecting God's best benefits in our life every single day. Same way Liza's expecting to get that great parking spot. And I've never seen it where she never got it. She's always expecting it. And she's always receiving it. And in your life, you can be expecting the best too. It shifts our attention from just a daily routine to now looking and realizing God is loading me with daily benefits. And I expect God's best today. Amen. I expect to receive God's best today. Amen. Don't just expect it once a week. Maybe once a week you get up and think, oh, it's Sunday, okay. I'm expecting God's best today. No, it says daily benefits. We can expect those benefits every single day from God. We can expect the best from God every single day. We should be getting up with that expectation in our heart as we get ready for the day. We should be getting excited, getting fired up. Wow, God's going to do something really good for me today. God is going to do the greatest thing ever because I'm expecting God's best today. I know God is going to do amazing things in my life. Now, let's read from 1 Kings here, because we've been talking, this is from our Bible study, and I was noticing as I was preparing this sermon where this fit into the message today, and let me just read about Elijah. If you've been in our Bible study over the last few weeks, we've been talking about Elijah, and again, we did one this past week, and so it's from 1 Kings 18:41, and you'll see where he is doing the same thing here that I'm talking about. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat, and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and then, that's a mountain, and then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. The servant said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. And then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand raising out of the sea. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. A heavy rain. And so Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. And then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. We see in this story here if we're looking at expectation, that Elijah hears, look what he does here. He hears the sound of abundance of rain. This is the first thing. So he essentially, he's receiving guidance from God. Remember, we've been reading all this time when we've doing this Bible study in 1 Kings, we've been reading about the drought. A drought came into the land. That means there's been no rain. They have been like rationing their food. The first thing he does when he hears that God says there's an abundance of rain, he says, Ahab, go down and start to eat. And when we were meditating on this, what Elijah received was that he was going down to have a feast, to celebrate the coming of the rain. And they, up to that point, they were rationing their food. They're eating just a little. They don't have very much. They're trying to make sure that they have enough to last out this drought. But the minute Elijah hears this, he says, go down and start eating. Start feasting. Start celebrating. Have a celebration. It's time to celebrate. And then Elijah goes up to the top of this mountain and begins to pray. And he tells his servant, go up and look over the sea and see what you see. The servant goes up and he looks. And he says, there's nothing. There's nothing here. Comes back down. Elijah sends him up again a second time. There's nothing. There's nothing here. He sends him up a third time. There's nothing. There's nothing here. I'm sure the servant's thinking right now, what the heck am I doing? And a fourth time he sends him. You know, we often receive guidance from God, and we begin to expect the best. Elijah's expecting that there's going to be a blessing of rain pouring down. And the spiritual meaning of rain, it is God's blessing upon our life. It is those daily benefits pouring out of heaven. That is the blessing of God coming in. And here Elijah is expecting to receive that. And now 1, 2, 3, 4 times the servant has gone up there, and there's nothing. At this point, the servant's probably coming back and saying, you know, I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm getting tired, and I don't see anything happening here. You know, nothing's going on. We've had drought for 3 years. And at this point, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to suddenly say, well, you know, it's probably going to, instead of expecting God's best, now we start to expect the worst. Well, we could have another 3 years of drought. You know, maybe I just didn't hear God right. Could be 3 more years of drought. So let's just, prepare for that. We better tell Ahab to stop eating because he's eating up the whole storage room over there. There's not going to be any food left. Tell him to stop. But that's not what Elijah did, is it? No. He sends the servant up there a fifth time. Nope, there's nothing. I don't see anything. That's the other thing is, Elijah's not moved by what he sees. We're not moved by what we see because we walk by faith. In other words, we believe what God has told us. We believe the promises of God. We believe that there's daily benefits, and we are expecting daily benefits. Say, I am expecting daily benefits.
I am expecting daily benefits.
And here Elijah's expecting to receive the abundance of rain because he's already heard it. He's already heard the sound of it. It's coming. It's a coming. And so he sends that servant up there a sixth time. There's nothing. Right? And then a seventh time. And now he sees a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. Small. Little cloud. But here Elijah kept expecting God's best in his life. He kept expecting God's best. 3 years there had been a drought. But he is expecting there to be an abundance of rain. And when that rain came, it was a heavy rain. That rain poured down. The blessing of God poured down onto the land for the first time. In our lives, it's easy for us to go from expecting the best, God's best, to expecting the worst, because we don't see it right away, because we don't see it the first time, because we don't see it the second time, because we don't see it the third time. And we might be looking at medical reports from the doctor saying that I have this problem or I have that problem. And the report might say that this year, and you're saying, no, I'm expecting God to bring a healing. I'm expecting God's best.
Amen.
You might be looking at your bank statement and saying there's nothing in the bank account. And you might look this month and next month and the next month, and you keep seeing that the numbers haven't increased, that the numbers seem to be going down, and you look for one, two, and three times, and it's easy for us to suddenly stop expecting God's best and start to expect the worst. Well, I'm going to have to declare bankruptcy. Well, I'm not going to be able to make it through this financial difficulty. Instead of looking for God's best, we start to expect the worst. It's easy for us to fall into that. But notice Elijah did not do that. We need to not do that. We need to stay and continue to expect God's best. It doesn't matter how many times the doctor's report says something. We still expect what God said.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what my bank account says. We still expect what God says. Amen. Start expecting what God says. You expect God's best and you will receive God's best.
Amen.
You expect God's best in spite of what you're seeing, and you still will receive it.
Amen.
We don't get discouraged just because it's been a couple of years. You know, 3 years of drought. We don't get discouraged by that. We continue expecting and believing and knowing that God is loading us with daily benefits.
Amen.
We're not deterred.
Amen.
You're not deterred.
Never.
You continue to walk with God in a great way and do amazing things. And this is what God wants for our life. It shifts. It's easy for us when we don't see right away the blessings pouring down upon us for us to get discouraged. It's easy for us to fall into expecting the worst. Well, I guess I'm just going to have to live with this condition. Well, I guess I'm just going to have to get by with the money that I've got. Well, I guess I'll have to move in with the parents. You know, it's easy to start getting into that kind of mentality of expecting the worst. But we walk with God. You walk with God.
Amen.
You don't need to expect the worst because he's loading you with daily benefits.
Amen.
You expect the best. Say, I expect the best.
I expect the best.
And what happens? Let's take a look here when we're expecting the best. Now, this is interesting. This is a story from Luke chapter 17. And this is about Jesus. And I think I'm just going to kind of paraphrase this story. But if you want to go there, it starts in verse 12. And here, he comes into this village, Jesus does, and there are 10 lepers there. You know, when you have leprosy, it's not a fun disease. You know, your ears start to fall off. Your nose falls off. Nobody wants to touch you because it's contagious and seemed like everybody that came close to you would get it. So you were isolated out there. You're not even supposed to be amongst the people, which I'm wondering why these guys are in the village to start with. But they had come to say, you know, have mercy on us. And so when he saw them, this is Jesus, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. In other words, they were healed from their leprosy. They came because they were expecting God's best, right? And then they received a cleansing, the healing. They were healed. Now, one of them, as he went to show himself to the priest, he came back to praise God. He came back and started saying to Jesus, glorifying God, praising God, saying how amazing God is. And here, what's interesting about that, Jesus said, where's the other nine? Were there not 10 of you? And so here's what happens. And so he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. In some chapters it says, your faith has made you whole. And what it's talking about there is if he's already received his cleansing, here he is, he was made whole. In other words, the fingers that had fallen off or the ears that had fallen off were back, restored. He was made whole. Because he kept expecting God's best. He's still praising and expecting and believing for something great. And because he was praising and focused on God, he received God's best. The other 10 received cleansing. They no longer have leprosy, but they're not restored to wholeness. You know, here he is restored to wholeness. And for us in our life, that's what something that as we continue to expect God's best every day to load us with daily benefits, he will restore us. He will restore our lives and make us whole. Here's a question you can ask yourself, because it is easy for us to go from expecting God's best to expecting the worst. Now, sometimes Maybe we're not expecting the worst, and you might be sitting there, well, Ted, I'm not expecting the worst. But you may not be expecting God's best. Maybe you're expecting what you consider to be the best, or you consider, okay, I can live with that. So you've fallen somewhere between God's best and the worst. And so maybe you're telling me, well, I'm not expecting the worst, Ted. You got that wrong. But you're somewhere in the middle. You know, here's a question that you can ask yourself. Is this God's best? Is this God's best? When you're looking at the report, the medical report, you can ask, is this God's best for me? You'll know the answer right away. No. If these lepers received healing, cleansing, I know that's God's best. And if one of them came back praising God and he received wholeness, then I know that's God's best. And if this report is saying something different than that, then I know what God's best is. It's easy for us to begin to kind of settle and say, well, okay, you know, I can live with that. That's not so bad. You know, I'll get by on this. But we don't want to fall to just mediocrity or just the regular. We want to be expecting God's best. You want to be expecting God's best every single day. Say amen to this.
Amen.
Because as we, and when we ask this question, is this God's best? It immediately shifts our attention. It shifts our attention from what we think is okay. Immediately, your mind and your heart are lifted to a greater height. Can you see that? Just ask yourself that question about something in your life right now. Whether it be about your health, whether it be about your finances, whether it be about the job you have. Too often, people are going, yeah, well, I'll just have to settle and live with this job because, you know, a lot of people don't have jobs, and so I should feel fortunate that I've got this part-time job that pays me a few bucks and gives me something to do. But you ask yourself the question, is this God's best for my life? You know the answer right away, don't you? It becomes clear. It lifts the veil off. Because sometimes we're fooling ourselves. And the minute you ask that question, you got the answer. And you're like, no. I know God can give me an amazing job that allows me to use my gifts and my talents that he has put into me. There is a purpose for my life where I have a reason to get up in the morning. Not just a job, but a purpose. And that's totally different. And I know that that's what God has for me. That's God's best. It's easy to fall into complacency and say, well, I should be grateful that I have a job. No, we should be expecting God's best in our life. We should be expecting those daily benefits every day. Now, that takes some courage and some strength in our life because it's easy to be complacent. It's easy to be lazy and just sit there and kind of just exist in our space rather than striving and expecting the best that God has to give us. It takes courage to do that. You have to have courage. You have to have strength. You have to have tenacity. And people are going to say, who do you think you are expecting the best that God has? You are the righteousness of God.
Amen.
You are the blessed of God.
Amen.
You are the fruitful, the multiplied. You are the one that God has chosen, and you have his blessing upon your life.
Amen.
You are the favored.
Amen.
That's who you are.
Amen.
And when you know who you are and you're expecting God's best, it doesn't matter what those people think, who you think they think you are. It doesn't matter. You know who you are.
Amen.
And you know to expect God's best in your life.
Praise God.
But we got to have that courage and that strength to grab hold of it and continue to look at it. Because it's easy to dwell in mediocrity. Just go with the crowd. Do what everybody else is doing. Don't strive for something more than that. Blame the economy. Blame your parents for the problems you have in your life. Rather than continue to look towards God, believing, expecting to receive a daily benefit, to receive the best parking spot, to receive the healing that God has put into your life, that he has already given, to receive the best partner possible. It takes courage to do that. It takes strength. You can't be lazy. You've got to get up in the morning and begin to expect it. And we stay in faith like Elijah did. He didn't give up after one or two or three times. He continued looking and believing and expecting God to do his best. To pour out blessing from heaven. To pour out his goodness upon the people. And that's what he did. So when you ask this question, is this God's best? I want you to do this week when you go out into your life. I want you to be asking that question. Ask it of your relationship. Ask it of your job. Ask it of your wardrobe. Some of you are going to go out there and do a lot of shopping, I know. Husbands, don't blame me. They're just expecting God's best. But as you go through your life, ask this question over all of these areas of your life. Some of you might get afraid because you might suddenly realize, uh-oh, there's something more. And sometimes people are afraid to receive a blessing because it's maybe not what they're used to. Maybe they don't know if they deserve it. But we got to know that if God is giving it, it's because he knows we deserve it. And he knows he wants to bless us with it. Maybe we didn't earn it, but the minute we received Jesus, we deserve it. That's the way he set it up. Doesn't mean we did all the work and did everything right. But that's the way his kingdom works. He pours his blessing out upon you. But we got to be expecting God's best in our life. What is God's best? What is the best that God has for us? You know, because it's easy for us to, like I said, set up our own limits of what is the best. You know, in our limits of what is best and God's limits, you can tell right away, that's two different things. What you're expecting and thinking is the best. Oh, man. All things are possible with God. If all things are possible with God, what is his best? His best is the miraculous. His best is the supernatural. His best is supernatural healings. His best is to restore lives. I'm talking about restoring lives, restoration of lives. You know, there are people out there that they think they've done too many things bad. They think they've made too many mistakes. They think they've fallen too far. They might be out there on the streets, homeless, thinking there's no second chance for them, but we have a God of second chances.
Amen.
And when we expect the best, that's what God delivers on. That's God's best, is that he can take that life that they think they have accomplished nothing, they've made too many mistakes, they're never going to make it, and God can restore them to a life of blessing. He can lift them up out of the dunghill and put them among noble men. He can put them amongst kings and queens right out of off of that street. Because God, that is God's best, restoring a life. He can restore your life. He can change it and transform it completely and totally. And he can take you from being white trash to putting you in the White House. Immediately. Because that's the kind of life that God has for us. That is his best, is restoring our life, restoring our health, changing and transforming. We see this. There was a girl that died, and Jesus went and said, she is just sleeping. And he said, rise. And she rose up. He restored her life to her. That's God's best. When we want to see God's best, we just look to see all the amazing things that God did. He healed these leopards. These leopards.
Lepers.
And he healed the, and he also gives second chances. He's a God of second chances. Remember this woman that was caught in the very act of adultery? You know, what did he say to her? He said, what did he say to the crowd? He said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. In other words, he did not condemn her. And nobody else could condemn her as a result of what he said. And he said, go and sin no more. That's God's best. God's best in your life is to give you a second chance. So even when you think you've made the wrong decision, even when you've fallen short or, you know, said something stupid or did something stupid or just kind of regret something in your life that you did, maybe it was years ago even, you got to know that God's best is to give you a second chance. God's best is to continue giving you a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance because God restores lives. That's God's best. God heals lives. That's God's best. That's God's best for our life. If we want to see what God's best looks like, it's Jesus. Jesus is the shining, glowing example of God's best. Out of heaven, he came down. He came down out of heaven. You know, it's interesting. If I go back to the story about 1 Kings, when I was meditating on the story and talking to God about it, I asked, why did the Spirit of the Lord suddenly come upon Elijah and he ran ahead of the chariot? He actually got to Jezreel before Ahab, who had a chariot and horses and everything else. And I was like, what does this represent here? And God showed me Jesus standing at the gates. He showed him glowing, golden, and beautiful. And Jesus told me, he said, I am the door. And I saw that these were the gates of heaven. These weren't just the gates to some city out there. These were the gates to heaven is what God was telling me. And that's when I was receiving that that's God's best. Jesus is God's best because when we receive him into our heart, that's when you get the second chance. When you receive Jesus into your heart, that's when he restores your life. When you receive Jesus in your heart, that's when your eyes are opened to seeing what God's best is. Now you can begin to look what you think is the best and you can take it to a whole new level. It shifts your attention completely and totally to God's best. When we receive Jesus into our life, we are receiving God's best. Because he opened all of the heavens and he sent his best down. And that's what we're receiving when we receive Jesus into our heart. You want to know what God's best is? Look to Jesus. You receive him into your heart. Now you can see what God's best is for your life. You can see the possibility. Say amen to this.
Amen.
Don't fall asleep on me now. I'll be waking you up. So right now, just know that this is what God has for you. His best. And let's go back to that verse from Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. That means if the Lord is loading us with daily benefits, you are expecting to receive daily benefits. Say, I am expecting to receive daily benefits.
I am expecting to receive daily benefits.
Amen.
Amen.
So this week, as you go out there, I want you to ask that question. Is this God's best for my life? You're going to be surprised, and you're going to see some things in your life that need to change. And this is where the courage comes in. Because if you see something that doesn't match with God's best, now it's going to take the courage for you to step in and say, okay, God, I'm ready to receive your best. Move me, change me, transform me, heal me, renew me, restore my
life. Amen.
Because I am expecting your best. Today I'm asking you to make a commitment that you will expect God's best in everything, every part of your life, every aspect of your life. I'm asking you to make that commitment today and to continue to look and expect God's best and to ask that question, is this God's best? And if it's not, then you know to step in and say, I'm ready to receive that daily benefit that will move me to a greater height. Do you have the courage?
Yes.
If you have the courage, then right now, just close your eyes. And each of you individually have to make that decision right now. Am I going to commit my life today to expecting God's best? Answer that question in your heart right now. And if you do say yes, let God know in your heart. Yes, God, I am going to choose to expect your best from now on. And I'm going to examine my life with your help. And I know you'll reveal it to me wherever I have settled, wherever I've been expecting the worst, wherever I've been only expecting what my best is. But it's not enough because I know your bet with you, God, all things are possible. And so when I expect the best, my body is restored. My life is restored. You're a God of wholeness and blessing and goodness and prosperity. And that's what I'm choosing today. I'm choosing to expect your best in every single way, at every single time, in every single situation. No matter what I see, no matter what the natural says, no matter what the circumstances are, I'm going to expect your best because I know you're loading me with daily benefits. Daily benefits every single day. And I am ready to receive those. I am ready to have that in my life. And I have your courage in my heart to make those decisions. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.